Welcome to the Vinyl Crawl, your every now and again podcast about beer and vinyl records, craft beer and vinyl. It's been so long. I don't even know how to introduce it.
We're busy.
I'm Alan. I'm your host, Alan Miller, joined as always by Matt Pfeffercorn. Hello, Matt.
Howdy.
And we are prepping for Record Store Day this Saturday. We're recording this on Thursday. Today's what, the 19th?
It is.
The 19th, yeah.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's a big day.
Tomorrow's a big day for everybody.
It's just too bad it couldn't have fell on Record Store Day. You know, everything could have went.
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
But it has.
It's too bad. But so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the records we've been seeing because it's been a crazy week and a half of ordering and unboxing. We ordered a long time ago, but the the unboxing and the pricing,
the waiting,
and
as
the
Tom
waiting,
Petty says,
it's the hardest part.
Hardest part
every time. I didn't mean to steal your thunder there.
That's all right. Sorry.
So you've got? Have you got your list in front of you of records that you're picking up,
yeah,
or are you just kind of looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I've got pretty much my list. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Chris, his last name is
Robinson?
No, that runs Bull Moose or does the account on Bull Moose. You know, every
year.
Oh,
yeah,
he does
yeah.
the video every year.
Yes.
And this year he did a really good one as well where he just like rapid fire went through a ton of the records because, you know, he takes them out and just opens it up and pulls the record out and the inner sleeve and it's like a whole ordeal, so you get to see everything about the record. He put his out yesterday, I think, or day before his video, his annual video. So that was pretty cool. Got to see a lot of stuff before,
I'll have to check
before it goes out in the bins.
Been in the trenches.
Deep. Well, we got our last shipment in today, so we're going to finish up, hopefully, the pricing and all that sort of thing in preparation for Friday night, which is when we stock it.
That's right.
Everything after 6 p.m. Friday is a blur until
pretty much
the next week sometime.
Until 6 a.m. Sunday.
Yeah, basically, because the way it works is we start stocking right at close, right at 8.
Yep.
And then we usually stock and drink until around 10 or 11, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Crack the doors at 7.
Crack the doors at 7 in the morning.
It's, roll all day.
And this year's going to be even crazier because
we're going to roll all night.
For some reason, we thought it would be a great idea for me and you, who are going to be working all day, to also do a DJ set at an after party.
Yeah. I mean, I've had it in my head. We've talked about it in the past, and it finally all came together.
It's going to be, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how
it's
going to
be
do
fun.
It is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun.
But it's also going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Did we ever end up getting a beer brewed for us this year? Or did it kind of fall through?
No, I'm getting ready to taste it tonight.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
So what, give a little insight as to what kind of a beer it is.
Okay. From what I understand, I saw it being mixed. I saw some of the ingredients.
And this is at Blue Holler.
This is at Blue Holler Brew Supplies here in town, a local brew shop that sells, obviously, supplies to brew beer, your own beer.
I guess if it's your first listen, this is in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah. And they also have 20 taps of various beers. And Chris, the owner, is also this year using the other half of the building to build his own brewery. He's brewed beers for years and years and years. So now he's going to start actually having a brewery there to be able to tap his own beers. You have to apply for a license and all that. Kentucky's, you know.
It's Kentucky.
It's Kentucky. But
it's a great place.
Yeah.
We have a great time doing DJ sets there. We
good
usually
vibe,
do one a month on a Wednesday. And lots of people come out. It's, you know, it's just a really nice bar. And it's fun.
It's
and
fun.
It's a good atmosphere. There's not a lot of shenanigans going on.
No, no. Unless we cause it with the music we play.
Right. Which sometimes we do, but
true.
You know, most of the time it's pretty,
pretty
easy going. But I do, before we get to our Record Store Day list, I do want to mention one other good thing going on at our store on Saturday that my wife actually told me about because I hadn't heard anything about it. So we're doing voter registration.
Yeah.
You set that up.
Just came about, yeah.
So what's the story on that?
Basically, we're going to have people from about noon until 5 or 6 while the bands play set up to be able to register people to vote, answer questions, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, the main thing is to register people to vote.
Right. And the main thing beyond that is to fix our government in Kentucky, because it's a fucking dumpster fire right now
right.
that we're all trying to solve. So get out and register.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy to do. You're going to be there looking for records anyway. So why not register the vote?
That's
too,
right.
If you haven't.
Yeah.
So on to our list.
Yes. Oh, wait, let's finish the beer.
Oh, we got to talk about the beer.
Well,
my God.
And the one for.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Blue Holler. You're
the
excited.
Blue Holler. I'm excited. It's, okay.
It's
been a while.
It's okay. So Chris got together with Sean over at White Squirrel and was able to brew the beer there on their premises because they have all the license and whatnot.
That's awesome.
So he ended up brewing a double IPA for us.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Makes sense, which is, you know, nice and citrusy from what I hear. They named it. I kind of gave them the full reins to name it.
Okay.
But they called it the Pfefferkorn Funk with a P. So.
Oh, my God.
So we'll see.
Have they got a label or anything? Is there a design?
No, but you know, when we get crowlers of it,
yeah,
I should probably have Jim Madison.
We need a
design.
We need something with the hair. We need some kind of.
But I will be sampling it tonight, and it will be officially tapped on Saturday
right.
when we start the after party.
Well, that's amazing. That's a first for us. We've never had a beer to coincide with our record store
right.
day. I mean, beer and record store day kind of goes hand in hand.
Pretty
because
much.
Dogfish Head every year kind of sponsors it a little bit, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what was their beer this year. Did you get to see it at all?
I haven't. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't even seen it in bottles around here.
I haven't either. No, I haven't seen a record store day beer yet. I know their poster they sent out was amazing.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
They're always cool.
I think this year is probably my favorite poster of all the years that
good.
They've done. So let's talk about the beer we're drinking today with the podcast is a Wicked Weed Freak of Nature Double India Pale Ale from
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. It says that though warned about its habit-forming hoppiness, they were seduced by the dank, tropical, and drinkable Freak of Nature. So apparently it's pretty hoppy.
It is.
It's got a good bite to it.
It's dank-alicious.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not drinkable. Like, it's not so hoppy, it's not drinkable. It's perfectly drinkable.
It is, but at 8.5.
Yeah, and it really, like, I get a lot of the piney notes in it, too.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of spruce and pininess. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, it's almost like a little bit what you get out of gin, like the botanicals you get when you drink gin.
Yeah.
That, like, really earthy... stuff, but it's good. I think it's a solid, really solid IPA. Do you like Wicked Weed? Is that one?
I do, but you can only get it there
in North Carolina.
So, good friend of ours of the store brought back a 4-pack of it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So on to our list for Record Store Day, which I'm assuming is why everybody's listening to this podcast.
If you haven't stopped already.
If you haven't stopped already. Let's talk about a few each that we're looking forward to. And I'm going to let you start first with one that's on your list.
That's on my list. Well, I'll go ahead and start with the softball, the easy one. The Fillmore 1969 Grateful Dead box set, complete show. Totally looking forward to that for obvious reasons, being a huge Deadhead, but killer era for the Dead. That good live Dead sound, plus a Dark Star. The Dark Star was just incredible for that show. So I'm looking forward to hearing it on vinyl for the first time.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but 60s Dead's not necessarily the most desirable among the circles.
Well, 68, 69 is.
67 is.
But, the formative years of
right.
66, 67, you know, the Warlocks. 65. It just
so the release last year was 67.
It was that last year
or
the year
before?
Maybe? Yeah,
they all start to run together after a
they
little
do.
While.
They do, but this one looks extremely cool, the packaging. I haven't seen the inside yet, but
The box is beautiful.
Yeah,
it's a gorgeous box. Yeah. I don't have that one on my list. I'm a very like staunch late 70s Dead fan. That's just me. That's just my personal.
Like the Chase and the Dragon years.
Yeah, I like the years when the shit was falling apart. So let's go to. I'm going to talk about a weird one I have on my list, which is that Doris Norton. I'm sure you saw it come in.
Yeah.
There's two Doris Norton records on Record Store Day this year. One's Personal Computer, and I'm blanking on the other title. But basically, she was a pioneer of what we consider now a genre called Vaporwave, which is taking the 80s aesthetic and turning it into like electronic music. It's the easy way to talk about it.
Right.
Except she was in the 80s, so it wasn't retro for her. It was just what she was doing. But she was a pioneer with Apple computers with writing music on those. So that's kind of what's fun. It's super geeky.
Can't wait for you to spin that Saturday night.
Oh, I'm going to. It's going to get spun.
It's going to happen.
It's really funky though. Like it's really good stuff. It's I would kind of say like maybe when Herbie started adventuring into stuff in the 80s, you could kind of see similarities with what she was doing with trying to mix like technology with funk to where it turns into like a really strange mishmash.
Right.
But that's a cool record to look forward to. If you're into any kind of strange electronic music, I think Tangerine Dream is going to be released as well. That's another great one to latch on to. Tangerine Dream. And then this Doris Norton
Vape
personal computer.
Wait, what is it?
Vaporwave.
Oh, I was going to say, I know some people into Vapewave.
No, it's completely different. Yeah. I can't even begin to explain to you what Vaporwave is because I'm not sure that I even know exactly what Vaporwave is, but it's one of those things that you know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what they used to say with pornography and censorship and stuff is you don't know something's obscene until you see it, and then you know it's obscene. You don't know something's Vaporwave until you hear it, when you hear those nice 80s aesthetics coming out.
Yeah.
So what's your next one on your list of
You know, releases? I'll talk about one that we're probably both into, is that Jeff Buckley, The Box... First time on vinyl. Pretty excited about that. Just, I don't know, for the package, obviously the music is awesome. Some of that, though, like it was originally the deluxe edition on CD. Some of it, I think, gets a little long-winded.
There's lots of talking. I mean, it's his whole set.
Right. Yeah.
So there's lots of banter. There's lots of little tuning.
He's tuning, yeah. I thought the original release of it, what was it, a 5-song EP, I think, was just perfect. It was great.
Well, and you have a long history with that record because you picked it up new.
Right. The EP was the one that essentially kind of got me into him.
Which it came out before Grace, which is even strange.
Well, when I was working at Record Bar, we got a promo LP that I still have in the collection.
Right.
And
which is like, probably highly collectible. I've never looked it up, but I'm sure it's highly collectible.
I haven't
either.
But it was one of those where I was kind of in a rut and needed something, you know, and I was just flipping through the promo stack and was like, what the hell? I'll try this. Took it home and holy shit. This is what I needed.
It really is. It's a great record. So I think that's one that should be on everybody's list.
It
really
should be. And I think I'm looking forward to hearing it on vinyl and listening to it. I think it'll be a better listen than when I listen to it on CD. That I know that doesn't make sense, but
it's probably more conducive, I guess, to being on vinyl.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be a more intimate listen, because it's a very intimate show.
It is, yeah.
There's not a lot of crowd noise. A little bit of clinking glasses.
Probably not a lot there, and a lot of people there.
But, you know, he didn't do a bad live show. He put it all out there. So get ready for, like, vocal acrobatics. And that's the other thing is, it's all just him. It's him and his guitar.
Yeah.
And that's literally the whole show, so something to be prepared for. All right, so one that I want to talk about that's probably not on your list, but is definitely on mine, is the Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah.
Score and soundtrack.
Those.
One thing I do like about them is that they, you've had a chance to take a look at them, right? That since
briefly,
came in.
Yeah.
So they did like a fold out. They're picture disc.
Yeah.
And picture disc is picture disc.
Highly collectible.
Yeah. But at least they did like a book style where it like folds out for two
True.
Different discs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice that way. One quick note is never leave them in those plastic sleeves. Always take them out and put them in paper sleeves if you buy one, because the plastic will eventually melt or mold to the vinyl, and then you're in big trouble after that. We've seen enough Ozzy Osbourne picture discs come through, melted to the...
Frampton comes alive, and he really did in that plastic.
He really did. So that's one that I'm looking forward to, though, even though they've released the hell out of the Twin Peaks score and soundtrack for the new
season.
Boy,
they're milking it.
They really are, but it looks so cool because they've got, you know, they got the curtains on one and they've got the chevron pattern on one. It's a really nice piece if you're into Twin Peaks.
It is cool.
What's another one you've got on your list?
I'll tell you one that I was totally excited about when I saw on the order form, and I had no idea. I hadn't thought about this album in a while. It's the first Latin Playboys album.
Mm.
Which is members of Los Lobos. So it's kind of like Los Lobos on crank something.
It's like a less pop influenced version of Los Lobos, more Spanish, less pop, right?
More Spanish, less pop, and some psychedelic.
Yeah.
You know.
A little heavier, right? A little heavier than Los Lobos.
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
I haven't listened to that record.
Oh, you need to, man.
You know, I was telling you, we talked about that, and I do like them. I remember watching them on Austin City Limits or something way back in the day.
Yeah.
And that being really cool. Or maybe it was even Soundstage. I'm not sure. It was on PBS. I do remember that.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Los Lobos fan as well, so I'd probably really enjoy it.
I think you would, and it's cool. It's never been on vinyl, so that one... For sure, I'm going to pick up.
Here's one that will probably, I don't know if you're going to pick it up, but you'll probably agree with me that it's really cool, is the Smithereens Play Tommy.
Oh, totally.
Have you listened to that?
No.
At all? Okay. No. It's great.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. They do a faithful run through, albeit a little bit heavier than The Who, of the full Tommy record. And the cover art is great.
Yeah, the packaging's cool.
The cover art mimics the gorgeous Tales from the Crypt cover.
Oh, that's right.
From the bootleg for Tales from the Who.
Tales from the Who.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. I think that's a sleeper hit that not many people are going to have on their list. But if you see it, I would highly recommend grabbing it.
And that's a great example of what Record Store Day should be.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a total just
definitely.
Record Store Day release for sure.
I'm curious what you think of the Tom Waits 3 record set. What's your feelings on that? I know you're not a huge Tom Waits fan.
Not a huge Waits fan. I think it's cool that they're putting it out again. I mean, it was available as a limited edition box set. It's interesting that they decided to go individual,
right?
Breaking it down instead of box set again.
Are they single LPs or double LPs for each one?
I think they're double.
Okay.
Based on the price.
Yeah.
They're a little pricey, I thought.
Right.
Like $34.99 or something.
And I wonder if maybe it's because they didn't feel like enough people would be able to buy a box set of it for like $100 or $120 or something like that.
But the thing is, the Tom Waits fan, if they buy one, they got to buy all three.
Yeah.
You know?
Unless somebody just likes one better than the others,
I guess.
But I don't know. I've got it on my list. I'm going to pick it up because I am a fairly big Waits fan, especially with those years. The other one that I predict the first record we'll have that sells out will be the Pink Floyd Piper Mono.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Piper at the Gates of Dawn Mono release will be gone immediately. I want to say that the first 6 or 10 people in line will all be wanting to pick that one up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it's never been released before.
No.
And the packaging is incredible.
Yeah. It is nice. They changed the cover.
They
altered it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, no, they. Say. I guess they did change it. It's like a, cardboard packaging with like a little like slipcase thing, like on the back. Like you have to undo the back to open the whole thing up, and it's got like a gold, picture of a guy jumping in the middle kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's really neat. It's
cool packaging.
And it's mono, so that's going to be awesome.
Right.
I don't know if it's colored or just black vinyl. That's one thing I'm not sure about either. I kind of hope it's black vinyl. Yeah. If they're going mono, I kind of hope they just keep it all, straight. What's another one that's on your list?
Well, going from that Floyd, the Stone Satanic Majesties is probably a good... is that one mono? Or is that just a...
I don't know. I haven't looked at it hard enough to know if it's mono.
I haven't either. But I know...
But you would think if they're reissuing it, it would be mono. Because that album was recorded mono.
It's great that they did the faithful reissue. It has the...
Yeah, the hologram cover. Or lenticular,
So I think that's cool. And that's an interesting release.
Yeah, that's a strange record. It's not great, but it's got some really good songs on it, is the thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a great listen all the way
through. No, not from start to finish, but still, it's one of those. I think we'll sell out of that, too.
I agree with you. I think we will. I think the same people that are going to buy Piper are going to buy that record.
Right, yep.
That's a good two record selection. Getting into the soundtracks a little bit, there's a couple big ones that I have on my list. One is the Planet Terror soundtrack.
We didn't order any soundtracks this time.
No, we did. I've seen them. Don't lie to me. They're there. They will be in my bag before I leave. Yeah,
of course.
But Planet Terror, arguably, I would say, of the Grindhouse Pictures, which was Planet Terror and Death Proof, Death Proof's the better soundtrack.
Right.
But Death Proof had already had a really nice vinyl release. It did. So that's why they're doing Planet Terror. But Planet Terror is good, too. Planet Terror is more of a traditional horror score. So that one will be really cool to pick up. I've also got the Old Boy OST, as well as the Lady Vengeance, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance. Mm-hmm. Those two on my list.
Yeah,
which are Korean action. Right up your alley, Matt. Like this is this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, you're going down my list.
Your list?
Yeah, I think.
Damn
you've
it!
Got my
I knew
list.
We should have picked different lists. Well. For people that know what it is, they're going to really be wanting it because it's a great score, especially the Old Boy score.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be a big seller as well, I would think. Maybe. Maybe it's just me, but I would think it's going to sell a few. Have you got I'm curious, do you have the Jason Isbell on your list?
I don't.
You saw the tweet he had about it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where he said, don't worry if you don't pick this up, I'm not making any money from it anyways.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I still think it'll be a big seller.
It's a good live show. It's a good early Jason Isbell
live
show.
He's hot right now. Yeah, and it's early. It's the first time on vinyl, too.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and he's, he's huge in this area.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played Bowling Green. People love him here.
I think a release, I'm not a huge Elvis Presley fan, but that release that they're doing with Elvis, King in the Ring.
Yeah.
The 68 comeback. I think that's pretty cool, and I think we'll sell out of that. I think more people are going to be into that than we think. I kind of ordered big on that.
You're probably right. We always second-guess Elvis. We do this all the time because we see so much of it.
And a lot of it's so cheesy, the soundtrack stuff and all that.
Don't you dare talk about King Creole that way.
I was thinking about Clam Bake, but but this is like... this was a comeback. It was just the trio, and they were just pounding out songs in the center there and NBC Studios and Burbank. They did two shows. Both of those shows are on the 2LP set. And it's 2LP set for $24.99.
Yeah, that's a good price point.
Great price point. So I think that's a pretty solid, good RSD release.
How about... we haven't talked any about that Van Morrison alternate Moon Dance.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting one.
It is.
I mean, Moon Dance is one of his best records easily.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question there. But how many people do you think are clamoring for alternate versions?
I don't know. I mean, there's a handful that I know will pick it up, but that's a good, I don't know.
That was one that, you know, I've got it on my list to pick up just because I really like Moondance. It's probably my favorite record of his.
Yeah.
That or Astral Weeks, one of those two.
Right.
But I'm a sucker for like alternate versions of songs too. I like bootlegs. I like all those things.
So, oh, of course.
So that would make it work. Same for the Fleetwood Mac alternate Tango in the Night.
Well,
Tango in the Night is not their best record. That's easily discerned. But when you get to alternate versions, sometimes you find versions you like much better than the ones that were released.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Lindsey Buckingham got high and recorded one that sounds better than one that I got on the actual album, that may be better than, you know, that sort of thing.
I thought these were the re-recordings with Mike Campbell.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they are. Are you trying to say the reason Lindsey quit the band was because of the alternate Tango in the Night?
One of the other things that stood out to me, well, first and foremost, this is a killer list.
Yeah. It's one of the best years.
You know, and we might say that every year. Although I think there was a few years where we're like, not so strong.
Yeah.
But this one, I think top to bottom, solid.
The one year that always sticks out like a sore thumb to me was when we had all the Springsteen reissues.
Oh, yeah.
That year was not a good year.
It was not, no.
But this year feels like a lot of interesting releases that are fun, new releases. Not just rehashes of something that you've seen in a dollar bin. Over the years.
Quantity-wise, I think it's the most they've ever released.
Yeah.
And I think as far as different types of music, I think they covered a lot of bases. If you look at the hip-hop stuff, you know, all the, Too Short, Dr. Dre.
Run the Jewels,
Nas.
There's that West Coast comp. The drive-by or something like that.
Yep. Crush Groove for the old school stuff. And then the jazz stuff. There's killer jazz stuff, as there always is.
Yeah, the Grant Green.
Ornette Coleman, the Monk, even the Sun Ra stuff. And, of course, the classic rock's always covered.
Yeah.
Even newer stuff, like all the Taylor Swift, they're re-releasing on vinyl. And then SpongeBob SquarePants the musical. Having all this different stuff helps.
I mean, we always get parents with their kids in there to buy stuff, and the same kid that buys Taylor Swift might buy the SpongeBob as well. It might be the same kid, so nothing wrong with that. Pub Dog has made an appearance.
There we go.
What's another? Let's see. Looking at my list here of any other really interesting ones that I kept on there. I think the Elvis Costello 7-inch is one of the more interesting 7-inches this year, where he's covering Squeeze.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of great since he produced Squeeze.
Right.
Like I don't really understand why he's doing it, but I think it's kind of clever.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, he likes those songs a lot, too.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the Dylan and the Dead 80s release.
Are you really looking forward to Dylan and the Dead?
You know, I'm going to revisit it. It's a good time to.
As long as we don't have to revisit Dylan in the 80s, that's all that, that's all that matters.
Oh, shit, I'm dropping the needle, man. That's kicking off the after party.
No, it's not.
You got to serve somebody, man.
That cannot be in the after party. My poor heart can't take that anymore. That Dylan in the 80s about did me in. Oh, man, that's bad memories. It's like PTSD.
Oh, man.
That Empire Burlesque, I can't do it anymore, man. What else you got on your list? let's go to happier things.
Happier things. You know, I think the Johnny Cash live at Folsom Prison is a solid release. You have the two complete shows, all the rehearsals, too. 5 LP box set. And honestly, the price of it's $81.99, which you think is a little expensive.
It's not really, though, for like
five
for
albums.
Cash fans, like they're gonna pay that all day. That's not a problem.
But five albums less than $100.
Yeah. So to finish it up, there's one other release that will probably, I don't know if you're going to copy of it or not, but I'm definitely going to copy of it. We've got a ton of them because I think it's going to be a big hit, and that's the Zeppelin 7-inch.
Yeah.
With Friends and Rock and Roll?
Rock and Roll.
Is it Rock and Roll? Mm-hmm. Okay. Honestly, I'm more into Friends. Like, I'm not so much into Rock and Roll because I've heard that song so many times.
Yeah.
But Friends is one of the great deep cuts in the Zeppelin catalog, I think. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I think it's cool. And honestly, it's the first Led Zeppelin Record Store Day release.
That's not true because we had the Live at the Greek doesn't really count, does it? The Jimmy Page and Black Crowes Live at the Greek?
No, it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's all Zeppelin songs, but it's not really Zeppelin.
No. Yeah.
You're right.
And they're saying that it's going to be the biggest selling RSD release.
Like ever?
Ever. Mm. That's what they're saying. But
I don't know about that.
I think it's cool. I mean, it's nice packaging. It's going to have the 45 insert too, I believe, with it. And,
you know, I'm kind of shocked they didn't hold out on How the West Was Won and hold that for an RSD release.
True.
Yeah. Because that just came out a few months back.
Right. It did.
But
it's pretty expensive, though. That might have had something to do with it.
We hadn't talked about Bowie at all, but you know, there's tons of great Bowie this year.
Yeah.
There always
is. The
Live 78, the Bowie Now comp, which is fantastic.
That is cool, too.
His first album, if you're into that, which I'm not really.
Yeah.
But if you're into that sort of thing, his first record's coming out, too. I don't know. Anything else? We didn't talk about the Almonds,
I guess. Well, you've got the Almonds, that classic 70s show from the Atlanta Pop Festival. Of course, there's a Hendrix release, too. The 7-inch, there's the obligatory ICP release that there is every year.
Yeah.
But
at least we didn't get any more of the Rob Zombie aliens having sex thing.
Yeah, with UFOs and all that. All in all, it's a solid list, I think, with mixing the classics with the new stuff.
Yeah, I think it's a great list.
Jazz,
I think rap, it's a great list.
Soundtracks.
So what all are we doing at the store? What are all the things that people can look forward to at the store?
Well, of course, we're opening up early, 7 a.m. Josh from Home Cafe is coming over. Yeah, coming over with the now world-famous breakfast burritos.
And they are great.
They are great. He'll be handing those out to everybody in line. We'll also have Spencer's Coffee as well. And, of course, the morning is just a mad rush. And once that kind of settles down, then we do the live music outside.
That starts around noon?
Noon.
Yeah.
Yeah, seven bands.
Yeah, it's crazy. I usually, when I start the register, I don't get off the register till noon.
Yeah.
Like, it's a solid nonstop.
It's solid, for sure.
Which is so much fun. But if you are coming out, just be patient.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people.
It
takes a little bit to get through the line.
It does.
But everybody, we have a great crowd for Record Store Day.
Oh, it's an awesome crowd.
They help each other out. Yep. They find releases that the other ones are looking for. Like, you always see people going like, oh, here's this. You were looking for this one. Here, grab this one.
Right.
There's not any fighting. Like, we never get any kind of fighting or stuff like that.
Nope. And we have great shirts this year, courtesy of Jim Madison's artwork.
Our best shirts, I want to say, that we've ever had.
I would say, yeah.
They're fantastic.
Yeah.
So you guys come out. It'll be, if you're in the area or even in like the Nashville area or something, come on up. You know, if you want to do Grimey's first in the morning, that's great. But
that's
come
right
by and see us in the afternoon, because we're still going to be, having bands playing and selling records. And also, we haven't talked about the used stock we're putting out. I mean, we're putting out 300-400 used records?
Yeah. Yeah. That we've...
Solid.
Yeah. Solid stuff.
Like almost the whole Pink Floyd catalog's going out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the early stuff.
Wish You Were Here in Shrink.
In Shrink.
With the cover.
Man. Momentary Lapse of Reason, signed by nobody. No, I'm just kidding. We don't even have that one. But we do have like Obscured by Clouds and all of those are going out, man. It's gonna be fantastic.
It is.
So come out and see us, and we'll probably do a follow-up podcast after Record Store Day to talk about our experience like we always do.
Yeah.
So have fun. Go out, support your local record shop. Anything else, Matt?
That's it.
Okay.
All right.
When I was a man, cold.